redemption by blood. That's the greatest of stories.
Amen. How many believe he is coming after us?
Amen.
I believe he's already in process of that now. Thank you for coming this morning. We appreciate the Lord providing us a place to assemble.
Amen.
And anyway, I think Brother Daniel kind of expressed it somewhat as we as he opened service. And I know that if we will maintain humility, God will bless us.
Amen.
And so I really don't have a whole lot to say at the moment about all that. But anyway, just to thank the Lord for providing a place for us and letting use Brother Perryman to do so. I believe God started way, way, way back whenever making provisions for us. And so we humbly accept his provisions.
Amen.
And it's marvelous in our eyes.
Amen.
That's all I can say. And so, at the end of service, we'll talk just a little bit about the direction that we're going to try and deal with things and getting this this local body moving. And so we'll just talk a little bit about that at the end after the sermon this morning. And also, after service, we may want to meet with some of the brothers to kind of do whatever furniture changes we need to accommodate the musicians, whatever they feel like they need. But and as Brother Daniel said, next Sunday after the morning service, we'll go eat, and then we would like to gather again. We might do it while we eat at a local restaurant, or we may come back here, but we would like for the brothers to get together because we have some decisions we need to make in getting this this moving. So any brothers that want to be involved in that, we want you to be there. And so we just want to announce that. and I think Brother Daniel said the announcement about the tithes. You know, if you want to turn it in now, if you want to hang on to it for another couple of weeks, tithes and offerings, even one. We're going to make it to where you can now if you want, but we'll hold on to it until after our business meeting so we know what we're doing there. And we will keep the church informed of what decisions are being made on all that. And one other thing that I want to share, when we were in Lima, a couple of years ago, there's a brother in Germany, Marcus Becker. He's the one that did Music Might and a manipulation video. And he started on a book that he wanted to do, which was going to be targeted for young people. And the book was going to be, it was going to be something that would take the events of the ministry of William Branham and make them into an understandable timeline. So that if you want to know when the scrolls were spoken into existence, if you want to know, all the different events that took place, they actually happened in a sequence. And a prophet was learning while this was going on, and he was maturing in his gift as he was moving on. And so it's very important that when you hear Brother Branham say something, that you, when you hear him, it really would help for you to be in the mindset that he was in right at that moment, knowing what present stage his ministry was in, or knowing what the world condition was at that time. And so this booklet, it's made in such a way, you'll see at the top it has the years, and one of the years we highlighted, it's done very well. But it covers world events, events of the United States, events of Brother Branham's ministry, and puts it all in a timeline and ties it to the sermons as you go along the way. So if you listen to a particular sermon, you can look up in here, you can kind of read, and you can see where you are in history and refresh yourself so that when you hear him speaking, you'll know why he's saying the things he's saying because of the world events at that time. And it also has some videos with it. They went to, I guess, just about every famous message place that you can think of that we hear about. And a lot of good video coverage of these places and the things that happened. And I think Brother Daniel you purchased 10 copies, and I got 10 copies, and we can get more. We don't have them yet, but we placed orders for them. And so we've got these for you. I think we'll start out letting one family, a family have one, and then and if anybody wants a personal copy, we can order them again later. It should be here in the middle of September, and I think it'll be a very good study tool for you. As a matter of fact, maybe, you know, the Lord will let us use that, and maybe we can go through some of that here and use that booklet. But anyway, thanks for coming, and now we want to read in the Scriptures. We have the musicians can go to the seats if they want. I didn't know what the Lord had in plan for us. And my first sermon I preached was right behind this desk.
Very good.
Preached out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I didn't know then that we'd be back sometime later, but like I said, God knows what he's doing. Let's open to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. I know we're familiar with this, and I read part of this in the wedding yesterday. Verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." And now let's turn to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with beasts of the earth." Let's bow our hearts to the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your provisions for us today.
Yes.
We ask, God, that you would let your presence just have full preeminence, Lord, to speak through us, to anoint our ears to hear. Lord, anoint our hearts to receive. And just ask, God, that you just be in the midst of everything that's said and done. Your people have been through many battles, and Lord, no doubt scars from that. We pray, God, that you would heal.
Yes.
Lord, that you would touch our hearts and set our pathway, Lord, before us clear, that we can follow thy leadership. God, that you could be glorified in our midst. We ask, Lord, that you would help us in these things, and we just look to you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
And you can be seated. This morning, the topic I want to speak on, I just call it, "We Have God's Answer." And I read the scripture about him in Ephesians. And the reason why I read that is because I wanted to point out to you that the scripture says that the Lord will provide for himself a wife that is without spot or blemish. And I heard it illustrated one time, and I don't mind using the illustration myself, that if history closed out and everybody stood before God and there was no virtuous bride, it wouldn't be our fault. It would be the fault of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said in his word that he would provide that. And so that may sound lopsided, but what I'm trying to get at is this is his work. What he does in us is his hand. And it's really not us, except our ability just to say, "Yes, Lord, here am I," and just use me, just like Mary did when the angel came to her, and she just said, "Just let it be. Let it be as you have spoken." And that's the desire of our hearts. We don't know where we're headed ourselves in our literal life as far as how we're going to walk and what the Lord will use us. But he knows.
Amen.
And so all we can say is, "Lord, just let it be according to thy word. Use me. And if that means that you want me to go out and glorify you and then get hit by a Mack truck, that's fine. And how many could say that? You know, when the Lord is in it, the burden's a whole lot lighter.
Amen.
When the Lord is in it. It's just when you can't quite see Him, you know. And He does that. And it doesn't mean that when He's not doing it, it doesn't mean that He's not with you. Because sometimes the Scripture lets us know that He looks down through the lattice. Sometimes we just can't see Him real clear. But if you'll just wait a little while, you'll see Him clearly. He'll make Himself known and He'll make that pathway before us what it needs to be. And so, as I've said, I know that to me, I feel like I'm speaking to a special group of people today. And I'm happy for that.
Thank God.
We have God's answer. When we look outside the doors, we see what's going on in the world and all the things that can be doom and gloom. And it is for those outside of Jesus Christ. But you know, when we look out there and see that environment that's out there is not catching God by surprise.
Right.
He's not even shaking in His boots and never has.
Right.
And so neither will we be if we're in tune with the Spirit of God. If we follow what He's provided for us and take the provisions that He's made for us for this day and for tomorrow and the next day, then we won't be shaking in our boots either.
Right.
We'll be confident. The Scriptures let us know and in quietness and confidence, see? That's where we stand with God, and that's where we want to be. And there will be times when you don't feel so confident. But God is in control, and that's not anything that's surprising Him. And He has allowed that world to become what it is. If it looks like they're going to bomb Israel, God knows. He's let those things move into the places they are because every bit of it will be used to glorify Him. You feel like you've gone through battles lately. So have I. But God will use every bit of it, every word, every action. He will use that to glorify Himself in His people.
Amen.
So that they are drawn closer to Him. And we have to believe that. We have to believe that God will do that and that He is doing that. And that nothing's gonna get behind Him and get past Him. I personally believe that these things go across his desk, and at work we have what we call work orders. Somebody needs something done, they put a work order in the system, and it pops up on my screen, and it's my job to start getting people working on it. And so, when you see a work order, you know that has been placed by someone. And when my guys, whenever they start work on it, I come to them, they know that has come across somebody's desk. Somebody has said, yes, we're going to do this work. And that's what I'm saying. These things go across God's desk. And He signs that signature on there, get it done. And it's done. And it might involve demons, it might involve angels, whatever it is, but it will be God's purpose and God's program that will work, and it will always be to draw His people closer to Him. Because that's what His purpose is, to save men. And so, when we look out there, we see the things. And you've heard the phrase, all is fair in love or war. And I don't know about the love part, but in war, all is fair. And I'm just trying to get to a point so you understand what I'm pointing at. Is if your enemy surrounds you, or if you were surrounding your enemy, if you were out in battle and your idea was to surround him and cut him off and isolate him from his support and his strength, to starve him out. You know, you would try to surround him and there's not anybody that's going to come along and say, okay, you've got your enemy surrounded. And you can do this and you can do that. But now there's some things you can't do. Now you can't really cut off his food supply. And you can't keep more troops from coming and going. Nobody's going to say that. You know what I'm saying? All is fair. Whatever you have to use upon your enemy to destroy him, that's what you do. And that's what he would do to you. So if Satan wants to surround God's people and try to harm them, he will use anything and everything that he can because there's nothing that says, well, you know, you can't cut off their food supply. That's what he's going to try and do.
That's right.
Okay, I'm not saying he can be successful because he won't with God's people. But the point I'm getting at is Satan will use anything and everything, just like anybody would in war. And so, as a matter of fact, not only would he try to cut off troops that were coming and going, actually it might even be better if he could come in there and replace those troops with his own and let them come in disguise so they can come in and not just starve them out, but actually get into the inner workings and get in there in subtlety and begin to work and move within. So all is fair. And so I'm saying that because that's what you see outside the door out there in the world. Matter of fact, you might see it inside the church house. You see things like that. And I know that makes us uncomfortable. It is true. It is true. And so Satan will use anything and everything that he can. If I was fighting someone and all I can find is a blade of grass, if I thought I could use it, I would. You see what I'm saying? Because desperate times call for desperate measures. And so we just would use anything just like the enemy does. But what I want to show you is that everything in this world outside of the Word of God, everything is just permeated, just filled with Satan's handiwork to work against us. It's like a fish swimming in a bowl of water or in the creek or whatever. And I've mentioned this before. That water just moving right across that fish's skin. That water going through his gills. The water is this modern cosmos system. That Satan is filled in all that. And there's not one thing that you and I can do to stop that water from brushing across our skin or going through our gills as a fish would be. You see? It's like a ship going through the ocean. Through a war zone. And it's just got mines floating everywhere. They're hidden underneath the water. And they're just, and you just have to go right through that. And them mines can just move right up and just maybe just barely brush. Maybe it wouldn't trigger it. But it's that dangerous. They were moving through that territory. And everywhere we turn, there's things, there's mines that can blow up and try to destroy our lives. They're everywhere. And so it's the fish, the water that goes through his gills. He has to let that go through there so he can get the oxygen out of it. He doesn't take things out of there that's not good for him. He'll get the oxygen out of there and the things. And that's what happens to the Christian in this hour. God will guide us through this age that he let become what it is. He'll guide us through this age and it might brush across us. We might even feel like we have to breathe it some. But the Holy Spirit in our lives will allow us to glean and use from this age the things that will develop our experience and reject the rest.
Amen.
But we cannot expect God to remove us from the water tank. Because that's what we're here for.
That's right.
For God to show that in the midst of this generation, He can keep a people regardless of how bad it looks. He will keep a people. And I believe we're that people. We read about the fourth horse rider there. Fourth seal. And I know there's different, the numbers in the Bible can be used, there's different things. Maybe the number five, we know that to be the number of grace. There may be something else that has been said, that Brother Branham might have told us that it was four. But I know he said the number four was an earthly number of deliverance. And so like the three Hebrew children, when they saw the fourth one in the fire, used that example. And so fourth is the earthly number of deliverance. It's a number that God uses for deliverance, when it's time to bring deliverance. And so we see here this fourth horse rider, fourth seal opening. And if we look at it right, we're going to see deliverance in it. And so we know there were four horse riders. And those horse riders were Satan's attack upon God's plan. And we know that God come along and he's opened to us the book of redemption. Actually, this is the book of redemption, but so is it. It's the book of life. It's got our names on it. And yet it was sealed and was to be opened in this day through the opening of the seals and would allow people, as people whose names were on it, see their names on there. And so, but it's the book of redemption. In other words, it's God's record on how he redeemed humanity, all the people that would be redeemed, even the Jews. So when he opened that book and there were seven seals on it, well, some of those seals would show how the Gentiles would be redeemed, and some of those seals would show how the Jewish people would be redeemed, right?
Amen. It would show how the foolish virgins was going to be redeemed. All everyone who's going to be redeemed and was in that book has to be brought out and shown and revealed when that book was opened. And so when these seals were opened, the first four definitely pertained to the Gentile church, the Gentile bride. And so there was four stages to that. And the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse. And just to kind of rehearse, just to remind you of what the system was. The white horse was a deception to present itself to be like Christ when it really wasn't. And his idea, Satan's idea was that here's God has a church that's been born at the day of Pentecost, and what I've got to do, they've been anointed with the Holy Ghost that was just released on them, because prior to that in the whole Old Testament it wasn't. And so it was released upon them. We got a new church born of the Holy Ghost. And so Satan says, I've got to come down and I've got to combat that. And if God's put the Holy Spirit upon His church to make them what it is, I've got to try and move in there with my Antichrist spirit and defeat that Holy Ghost spirit. So I've got, the people are anointed with an Antichrist spirit instead of the Holy Spirit. So he comes in through deception and actually gets the work moving. And so there are those that he was able to deceive. And they went off into a system, we call it a system of man, the Catholic Church, the Catholic system. They went off into that, anointed with that. And so Satan was able to get some people subdued by deceiving them. But there's some that wouldn't be deceived. So he had to get off of that white horse of deception, get on the red horse, and get his, you know, and go out and begin to kill, get his sword and go out and kill people. And that's when he moved into the mode of forcing people into his system under threat of the sword.
Yeah.
So if I can't deceive them into doing it, I'll force them into it.
Right.
That's what he did. And so then after he got that all taken care of and pretty much had everything subdued, then he would hold them in that position. Hold them in that position of deception. Hold them in that position of fear. And use tactics to hold them in that system of starvation. I'll put it that way. So you come to the third horse rider and you see that he was charging for the bread of life. And a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. And that was the staff of life. That was the bread of life. And he charged for that. And we know all the details about how poor the nations are that have the Catholic system is over. But see, I'm talking of the tactics that Satan used to either deceive or to force and then hold people in fear and bondage.
Right.
And hold it to where they can't rise up higher than what they were.
Right.
That's his system. And so then when it comes to this fourth horse rider, Brother Branham tells us, he said, this fourth horse rider being pale is actually a mixture of the first, the second, and the third horse. So what I glean from that is that when Satan's tactics to deceive or his tactics to force and his tactics to hold people in bondage and fear and keep them from rising up, that all of that is mixed together and is present in this fourth horse rider. And that fourth horse rider is the day, right now, this is the day that we're dealing with that. And these horses were, and these movements of the Antichrist through these stages was met by an anointing God put on the church that was represented by these beasts, the lion, the ox, man, and then of course the eagle. Because when Satan was out trying to deceive, God had an answer. That's what we're speaking on. We have God's answer. God had an answer whenever that first system went out there to deceive people. He had an answer of how to combat that. And he would let his Holy Spirit come up on his church and produce in them the nature and actions of a lion.
Right.
To be the king of the jungle and to go out there and combat that deception that was trying to come out through there, through the churches. And so God had an answer in that hour for that. And whenever the Antichrist got off that first horse and began to get on the red horse and began to destroy people with the sword, God had an answer for that. God will always have an answer to combat whatever it is that you're facing.
Amen.
We don't always take what He provides for us, and when we don't, we get a whipping. But God will always have a way. He always has something that he can anoint your life with that will destroy your enemy if you let it. Satan cannot take you unless you let him. I know that sounds a little bit odd, but God is the one in control here, and he presents you a way of escape and shows you that, and you know it. We know it when God has dealt with us on something in the past, and we didn't take it, and it wound up that we were in trouble. And it's because we didn't take what God had, and he'll get us back. He will. If you're a child of God, he'll get you back. But the point I'm getting at is Satan is not the strong one here. He's all he is a tool. And so God always has something there. And a matter of fact, the church cannot do anything more than what they're anointed to do. If we look out and we say, you know what we need right now is thus and thus. Well, you know what? We'll never produce that unless God has it in his anointing to come upon us to produce whatever it is that we need. In that day, Brother Brandon said, they're all the time saying, we need a prophet, or, you know, and they had one. But all these magazines, oh, fast, fast, pray. We need a prophet. We need a man sent from God. Well, God was providing that to them, but they wasn't accepting it.
That's right.
And you see what I'm saying? They weren't accepting it. But God was providing it. But the point I'm getting at with that is that if what we needed was a prophet, then the only way the church would ever have that would be with God provided. And he did provide it. And so God provided the anointing for that horse rider. For the church to combat that horse rider, the second one. And it was the calf, the ox, the beast of burden. And then under the holding them up, the bread of life, you know, from them. During that time. We know that it was a man's anointing. God had a place for that. And the man's anointing dealt with that situation. And God was through it all. Prior to this message coming to us, we wouldn't know that. If we looked through history and dark ages, we'd say, where was God? You know, just a man's thinking would say, where is God on that? How was God in 68 million of them? Where was he? There's his people. That's just a man's way of thinking. And that's what we would say. That's what that Lutheran guy did over there in Germany was said about Brother Branham. Well, where is this God that sat with his hands across his tummy while all those people being martyred? That's just because that man is just under a man's anointing. He's not under an eagle anointing. Because an eagle anointing will no different. And so God had the answer for each of those stages. And so when we get down to this fourth age, which is our age, because that age was met with an eagle anointing. And if that fourth beast is a conglomeration of all the other three put together, you see, then and God's answer for that is the eagle, was the eagle anointing. That God would anoint the church with characteristics like unto an eagle. Like he did with the lion or the ox or the man age. He would anoint his people to combat whatever you see outside those doors. So whatever it is that's going on out there, if we are in, and we are, moving into that age, have been for many years now, the fourth horse rider, then God's answer for what you see going on out there, which he is allowing, God's answer is that, to that is this eagle anointing. A prophetic ministry. That's his answer for it. And everything that we need will come from that right there. Everything that we need to rise up to the challenge of the day, no matter what you've been going through, whether it's in your home, it's on your job, in your church, wherever it is, God's answer to overcome, because remember, everything that's around you is permeated by Satan's system. And we have to work through it. We have to move through it. We have to drive down the road and the billboard signs are there. We have to go to the bank. You know, if you understand what I'm saying, we have to go to the grocery store. God hasn't given us some special something that we can take or say or do that eliminates that from happening yet. Maybe that'll take place shortly under third pull. But the bottom line is that right now we still have to move through this water. We have to swim through it. And everything all around us is something that Satan has formed to try and come against us. But God's answer to that is found underneath the eagle anointing. It's not found under the lion or the ox or the man, but it's found under the eagle. And so I know a lot of these things you're familiar with, but to bring them all together into one mindset to get a point across to you. The lion, the ox, and the man all have their place. They all had their age where they were God's answer for that age. But they're not necessarily the answer today. I do believe that within us is the ability to be bold when we need to be bold. We do have the ability to be a sacrifice when we need to be a sacrifice. You know, we have the ability to reach into the wisdom of man to present that when we need to. But God's answer for our age, the emphasis is on that eagle. That's what He's emphasizing on. That's what He wants us to look to, because that's where it's going to come from. Our anointing and our escape is going to come from that. And so, if you look at the lion and the ox and the man, they're all earthly. All they can do is walk and maybe jump a little bit, but they can't get real high off the ground. So they're earthly. They cannot escape this earth system or the gravity of the earth, but they have their purpose. So what I'm saying is that even though they couldn't escape, that in their day, it wasn't needed for them to escape the gravity. It wasn't needed. God will always use the right thing. And in that day, He didn't need an eagle that could take off and fly and escape. He needed a lion to combat that system, or He needed an ox that could bear that burden of sacrifice and be martyred. He needed that. He didn't need an eagle then. Because the program didn't call for an eagle at that time. But now He is calling for an eagle. And He'll never call for that from His people until first He administers that to you. But we as His people have to let that be. Let that anointing, let that provision that God has given us for this day, let it come to us. Let that be our focus. Let that be the thing that our minds are stayed upon. Scriptures talk about letting your mind be stayed upon the Lord so you can be kept in perfect peace. You can't in this hour let your mind be stayed upon a man age word, even though it's the Word of God. You can't let it be on the lion or the ox, what God provided. What we have to have today is what God has provided today.
Amen.
And that is we call it a message. But it's a prophetic ministry. And from that, God will lift us from this earth. He will lift us from this earth, both in spirit and one day in our physical bodies we will change. He will lift us from here. Because now's the time for us to be lifted from here.
Right.
And that's why it's God's provided way. So when Satan builds up and does all the things he's doing out here, guess what? God allowed him to do that, but God has an answer for that.
Amen.
And that answer He's given to His people. And we believe it.
Right.
We believe it. We rally around that. And we don't try to rally around the ox or the man or the lion in its infant stages or whatever. But we rally around the maturity of the fullness of the Word that God has given us this hour and receive it as that. To believe it, like we say, we've heard it said and we've mentioned it, and it's in the message, that if you want to be pardoned, that you have to receive that pardon when it comes to you.
That's right.
The man who can extend to you that pardon, when that comes to you, you have to receive it as that. And I know it's like, who are we? Who are we to believe that God would change our bodies? There's people out there that look like they live a whole lot better than we do.
Amen.
Why would we believe in God? And it takes humility. It takes a humble of spirit to say, yes, Lord. I don't know why You would do that for me, but I believe it and I receive it. And then once that happens, we conduct our lives according to that promise.
Right.
Looking up and believing that He's coming for us. Believing His promise. That's what we must do. And so, it's time. So these four, three of the four, the lion, the ox, the man, all they could do is walk back and forth on the earth and do what they could do. But when it come time for God to say, you know what? The condition out here in this world has got so bad that I need a different beast. I need a different creature. Not the lion and the ox and the man. I can't do what we got. We got to face this because, and he's allowed it to come to that. But so don't fear when you look out there, but know that God has allowed that and God has the answer for that. And so we look out there and see that. But God had called now for an eagle because now it's time for the church to rise up. It's time for us to leave this place, both in our spiritual walk, to rise up higher than what in the past, and in our physical bodies to change someday. It's time for that. So God has administered that to us. He's given us that. Eagles, we know the eagles, all the other, the lion, the ox, the man, they feed their young milk. We've all heard that in the past. They feed their young with milk. You know, God created the lion and the calf or the ox and the man. And he created the eagle. And God made it so that those three would feed their young milk until their young would get strong enough that they could eat meat or eat something other than milk. But God made the eagle so that those young could eat meat. And what am I saying? God did that so you and I can see today that we are a privileged people.
Amen.
That if we are God's eaglets, if we're living in an eagle age, that even our newborn Christian people, birthed in this message, even they can eat meat. Those eagles, they require it. They require meat. And it's something that has to be there. And they have a way to digest it.
Right.
They have a way for this strict word that nobody else can really accept, nobody else really wants. But they have a way to say amen to it. Somehow that they can take it down and it digests and something happens in them. And what happens? It makes them strong eagles so they can take them wings like their father and just one day just lift off and go right up into the skies, soaring away from all this humanity and all this trouble here on earth. That's what God did. He changed. He made it that way. This eagle is represented that way. So what can we say when we know we see we're in this hour, we see it's time for it, and we see God has put that anointing upon us because we know we believe a word that the rest of the world is rejecting. We can take it. We have God's answer. He gave us appetite and a digestive system that can say amen to it. And that's going to strengthen us. And by that, that's God's answer. By that, we're rising up above no matter what it is out here that Satan puts upon us. Does it make a bit of difference? We're rising up from that. That strength of that. We find out that when that fourth horse rider went forth, the scripture said that his name is death, and hell follows him. And we understand that for a sinner, for someone who's not saved, hell comes after death. Death comes to them, and that's where they go to. They head to that place at some point. I don't know how long or whatever, all the ins and outs, but we know that's their destination, is to go to that and eventually the lake of fire.
Absolutely.
And so death being like a holding place, because the scripture said that when it come time for everything to be cast in the lake of fire that wasn't found in the book of life, that death and hell gave up the dead. So death was holding those who had died, and even death itself we swallowed up. And so all that comes up from that holding place and is judged and then cast into the lake of fire that's not found in the book of life, right? So it's a place or a dimension or a condition, a nightmarish state, whatever it is. And so, but the scripture said this guy, this fourth horse rider, it never gave him a name when he was under the first horse or second horse or third horse.
Right.
Never gave him a name. Never really said what was going to happen so much, except that, you know, maybe he would take peace from the earth and many people would be destroyed. But under this fourth, now remember, fourth is earthly number of deliverance. It's time for deliverance. It's time no longer to remain on earth, but to escape. During that hour, it's time. This fourth horse rider is given a name. It says his name is Death, and hell follows him. And the reason why is because there's a prophetic ministry here, this eagle anointing that's here, is able to identify that. But what I want to show you is that all along he was deaf. It just didn't, people didn't know it. See, it hadn't been revealed yet. His motives and his purpose all along the way, back when he looked ever so white on the white horse and ever so good, he was still, his target was still to bring death. Even back then, in the infancy. And all along the way, his desire was to bring death. And it's, when death comes, hell follows.
Right.
And so you find out that each age had a temporary judgment upon it. Remember, Brother Ram says, here's the program of it. Here's how it works. That God would open a seal. He'd put that anointing upon a messenger. That messenger go forth with that message. And what would it do? It'd cause a war. It'd cause a war in the church. It would cause a big stir. And so there would be an elect people that would believe that message that was given by that God-sent man. And he would take them and wrap them up into that blessing and take them over into the glories of the Lord, if you want to say it that way. And then those who rejected, he'd drop a temporary judgment upon that people, and they'd go away, and then he'd send another message because of the cycle. And he said, but now when he gets all the way down to the seventh one, see, there's no more ages to come. No more temporary judgments. There will be a judgment for the seventh church age, but there's not another one to come. So the point I'm showing here is that each age had a way of escape. And those who rejected it in that way of escape, in that day, a temporary judgment was dropped upon them. But when the cycle of sevens gets finished, in God's program, He brings a final manifestation. And brings a final judgment upon the rejecters of that final manifestation. Everybody understand? What God did in a small form all along the way through seven church ages, now He does it completely. In other words, this entire earth, a ministry, an eagle anointing, has went worldwide. So the world has been brought into scrutiny as to whether or not they are accepting this word, this ministry that has more vindication than any of all the rest put together. And that's been brought out before them. And so what God did in a small form throughout the ages, now He's doing in a complete form. And that is to bring the whole world into judgment, to present that way of escape to them, because it's a time for escape in totality, not just in some small form. It's time. And so the whole world, when they reject that, then there's not a temporary judgment, but a permanent dealing with their rejection of the Word of God for the hour. And so, here's this guy, these four horse riders, Satan, the Antichrist, working through them, and his name, his purpose was to minister death. Think about that. You know, we brothers refer to ourselves as ministers of the gospel. Ministers of the good news and of all the blessings of God that goes with that, we minister that out to the people so that they can receive of what we're ministering. But what if a person was a minister of death? That's what he was doing. Ministering out death to the people. So that they become partakers of what he's giving. That's God. That's Satan's program in all that. It's like God's program to minister out the gospel. And so he ministers out death, and of course hell follows. Now, we're familiar with the message, souls that are in prison now. Now, Brother Benham talked in there about how that while we were here on this earth, that there would be a time that would come that people, that we would actually be kind of like Jesus did when he went into the heart of the earth and he spoke to the souls that were in prison. And, you know, they didn't repent here. They didn't follow God here. So when they went there, they didn't receive it when he came to them there. See? But they were in prison. They had already sealed their judgment by the way they had crossed the deadline. And so there they were. And yet he came to them because he came and ministered there, and they couldn't receive it because death doesn't change it. They rejected it here, they have to reject it there. So death didn't change them. They couldn't receive it there, but the ones who did believe it and who were received and were Christ in their day and accepted the plan of God in their day, they were still carried that anointing with them. And when he came through that dimension, they recognized him and he brought them out.
Thank God.
In a resurrection.
Thank God.
He brought them out in a resurrection during that time. And so we see those kinds of things working, but in this message, souls that are in prison. Brother Ram tells us that as that happened, we would be here today. And there would be a time. And I'm not saying that it's like, okay, now the rest of the world who's rejected. It's not like that. I don't believe. I believe it's on a person by person basis.
Thank God. Thank God.
A person by person. But that we are in the hour. That we're all across the land, people are being presented with a gospel to save them. A gospel, an eagle anointing to rapture them. They're being presented with that. And they have to do something with it. They either have to accept it or reject it. And it's not like I accept it or I reject it. Just right all at once. It may take a while. God works with people. It's not His desire just to torch people as soon as they show one sign that they don't really want to move right now. It's not that. But still yet, God is giving this message out worldwide in total and giving them the way of escape. And people are hearing it. And people are rejecting it. And people, as they reject it, we don't know, we can't point fingers, but there's people right now out there in the world that have reached that point, that they are souls that are in prison. They have already passed the point of no return for them, and that's all there can be. And no matter what God does now, no matter what they do, they'll never accept it. And here's what I'm trying to show you. That he tells us that hell would eventually come and be manifested right here. Why? Death and then hell. A people who accept spiritual death by rejecting the word of the hour. Right. And that death comes upon him and hell manifests itself. And that's what we see. That's what we see out there in the world. Person by person situation. That when we reject the grace of God and what He's so wonderfully and magnificently brought to us, that on a person by person, we are in that phase now of blending, of fading out of one age and the bringing in of another. We're in that hour that there are souls that are being ushered into prison now. And no matter what, why? Because they've already died. They're still walking on this earth. But they've died. You know, Hollywood picks up on the inspiration. Night of the Living Dead. There's things like that. It's happening. It is happening. It's been happening for years. If it's not, I pray tell me why someone could be so degraded in their experience.
That's right.
That they could do what that man did a couple of days. To pretend like the Joker. And go into a theater. And throw out them smoke bombs or whatever it was and start shooting people. Because people are caught up in that anointing of hell that's been brought to us.
Right.
It's what's up and down the streets and everything. It's just brushing right by us.
Right.
And we can't stop that.
No, it's here.
But we can rally around what God has given us.
Right.
So that no matter what that is, it will not come nigh our dwelling. It cannot touch our soul.
Amen.
Will not come nigh our dwelling. A thousand can fall by our side and 10,000 to our right, but it will not come to you and I, brother and sister. It will not come to us. Because we are the redeemed of the Lord. And the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
We rally around the truth with humility. We say, you know what? God, I accept that. I don't care if it's my neighbors, my co-workers, I'll do what I can to touch their lives, but it will not come to me. Because I'm going to rally around what you've given me to get me out of here.
Amen.
And I'll take as many with me as I can, but I'll not fall like the world falls because you have given provision for me in the midst of all that. And so that's what's happened. What happened through temporary measures all through the ages is now full manifestation, and we're in it right now. And I'll tell you what, it's just, You know, sometimes you have liberty to say things maybe couldn't say in the past.
That's right.
But between that time, while Jesus was in the ground preaching to the souls in prison, there was an earthquake on the cross, and there was an earthquake at resurrection. And between those two earthquakes, he was there in that dimension preaching to souls in prison. But you know what? He wasn't just preaching to souls in prison. He was also preaching to those who were ordained to come out in that resurrection.
That's right.
And so while he didn't say that in Scripture, it said souls in prison, but guess what? He preached to the rest of them too, if you look at it.
That's right.
And they came out with him because he was their Redeemer. And that happened. That ministry of that word to go to a people who was either sealed in judgment or sealed in life. He came and he spoke to them. And during that time, he ministered that final stage to them and brought those in a resurrection that were to come in a resurrection. And the rest of them were doomed because they couldn't receive it. But that happened to a people that had gotten past that point. You see what I'm saying? In this hour, there was an earthquake, 1964, there's another one coming.
That's right.
And between those two times, God is preaching.
Right.
And there's preaching going to the souls that are in prison.
Right.
But also, praise God, He's preaching to those who have life. And those that are going to go in this resurrection, in this rapture with Him. That's what He's doing right now.
Amen.
We can see that. We don't have to worry about it. We put our confidence in that. That, when Brother Ram said, they went over and said, where's the Welch revival? And that police officer said, you're looking at it.
Amen.
If somebody wants to know, where is the rapture? You're looking at the rapture.
Amen.
You're looking at the people that's already blessed
with
the blessings of God for eternity.
Amen.
The scripture said in Romans chapter 8, all those that he foreknew, he predestinated. Those he predestinated, he called. And those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified. And all of that's past tense. He foreknew them. He predestinated. It's all past tense. He glorified, justified, and glorified. And Paul says, when you hear that, you can't do anything but say, well, if God's before us, who can be against us? Because it's already settled. It's already taken care of. It just has to go through the formalities. It's like talking to the brother back there who's wanting to buy some more land. And I asked him yesterday about whether or not, he said, it's done. There's just some paperwork's got to be finished. And God has this wrapped up where our deal, the deal that he's presented, it's done. It's just some formalities just a few things we got to finish here, and it's over with.
Amen.
But it's nothing's going to stop it now. And so here we are. We look out there and say, man, what a terrible time. What a glorious time. Because the fish couldn't swim if there wasn't water for them to swim in. Them airplanes couldn't take off and fly if there wasn't air. There's got to be something for us to navigate in. That eagle could not take off and fly and soar away from these things if there wasn't a medium for his wings to work in. And this world, in all its chaos, is the medium for you and I to rise up from this place with the Word of God in our hearts and soar up above all that. Remember, Brother Ram said, that same judgment that destroyed the earth, that's what took Noah across the flood. That same water of judgment, the same environment that's destroying the world, you and I are saying, praise God! We're moving. He's lifting us up from this place. And that's the revelation. That's the mindset that God wants us to have when we get up every morning. It is like Brother Donnie Reagan says that whenever he puts his first foot on the floor, that Satan starts trembling. That's right. For a people to realize, you know what? We are the people of God. We are that group that God is going to take out of here. We have nothing to fear. Yeah, plenty of battles, lots of trials. But all of that is just what God's using to perfect us and lift us up from this place. And we know that because we're the only people that by God's grace, through His Word, see that that's what's going on.
Amen.
And He's guiding us through that. So God has the answer to this age, to Satan's attack. God has the answer for us. God has allowed it to happen to be a showdown. You know, it started in heaven, and now it's going to end right here on earth. The battle between God and Satan, and it's a showdown. And God likes to use the spirit of Elijah in a showdown. He used it in Elijah himself, he used it in William Branham. And I believe that that's the anointing that is upon us. Because remember, there's an Elijah and there's an Elisha. And she has a double anointing of what he had. That's not going to make us like seers like Brother Branham was. But the power that worked in William Branham to bring this message and that we see demonstrated, that power is in his bride, in the bride of Christ. Amen. And working in us in great measure, greater measure. And God will bring a showdown and bring judgment. And he used that prophet to bring judgment upon this age because of the idolatry. And but there was a people who were restored back because of that. And we are that people, restored back to the original faith, the original word, the original belief. And that's what process is going on now. And so the bride is the, we hear that final voice for final age. Under her message, we hear that said. And that's true. Because to see what God has done, what he's delivered to us through opening of seals, we accept that.
Amen.
We believe that. And we live that. Then that makes us the final voice for the final age. You and I, Jesus Christ is preaching to you souls in prison now. And he's using us to do it with.
Amen.
Just the way we walk, the way we dress, I mean, ministry, whatever. He uses the body, his body, to do this through. And so that is where we're at now. Amen. Let's bow our hearts as the musicians want to come. Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for the truth that you've given us this day. As your prophet said, this is the greatest day. If he just had to make a choice, this is what he would choose. Right at your coming, Lord. There was a time, Lord, where you needed to come as a babe and to be a sacrifice. Lord, that it might support your program in that hour. But Lord, we know that you come next as a king. Right at your triumphant descent, Lord. Right as you come in victory and strength to show that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, it makes our hearts so feel humble that you would even consider us, Lord, to put that blessing upon us that we might see and know that you want to perform these things through us. But I pray, God, that you would allow us to fully comprehend by revelation, not with head knowledge, but by revelation, Lord, how that you are here to work through us. To bless those around us, to do our part in this in this part of the world, to speak to those that we rub shoulders with and those in our family. God, knowing that as we do, there will be some that reject it, but God, to keep on that firing line and
yes.
Keep moving, Lord, to touch the hearts and lives of those that we can. God, minister into us the confidence that we need. Lord, so that when we see our co-workers and our neighbors and friends in trouble, God, anoint us with the confidence, Lord, to go to them and call their presence over on your promises and speak those promises before them. Let them see you manifested, extending your arms of grace and mercy to them. We pray, God, you'd help us in these things. Help us to remember and retain, Lord, the blessings and promises you have for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're saying Jesus draw me close before. That's a desire of our heart. Oh, Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Closer, Lord, to you. I desire to worship and
Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. I desire to worship.
How many want the Lord to do that for you?
Amen.
Draw us closer to Him and let this world fade away. It don't mean anything. We don't get our cues from it. We don't take what it wants in us to be. Don't let the world put us in its mold. You know, the Scripture said that we are not ignorant of the devices of Satan. And I know that all of us, most of us, have been through a rough time lately. And as I pray that God will bring healing and that He'll let that chapter of our lives be closed,
right,
and a new chapter started. God will close the books one day. It'll be the final chapter and we'll leave this earth.
Yeah.
But there are many chapters to our life as we go. And so that's my prayer, is that God would allow us to continue to grow, continue to heal, continue to love one another, and for our focus to be correct. And so I don't know yet what I'm going to say about the situation here, but I guess we'll hear it in just a minute or so. But it is it's my desire, I think, just like yours, that we could gather in a place where the ministry and the environment is what we know the message tells us it should be.
Right.
Because in that is where we have our strength. And there's no living, no escaping the world today outside of the keeping power of the Word. And so that's what we want in our lives. We probably, with our canary thinking, we probably do not even fully understand what all we need. You know, we probably don't. In my body, I'm sure that my cells and my brain, I don't know when I eat beans and potatoes and cornbread, I don't know where all that stuff needs to go, but somehow or another, inside the body, these things find their place.
Right.
And the body's edified because they find their place. And it doesn't mean that if whoever's leading this group has all the understanding of how things should all be, but if we're all sincere and we're all parts of this body and do our part, God will see to it that everything, the strength is where it needs to be and people are what they need to be so that the body can function as a whole and be a representation of Jesus Christ. You can't put it all on the man standing here and you can't put it all on the people out there. It's the whole thing. It's the whole group. And so I'm not standing here today to self-appoint me or anyone else as leader of this group. It is my desire that through your dedication, your prayerful sincerity, and doing as a, moving into this body, to be part of this body, that God will raise up and do what He wants done.
Amen.
And somebody will have to be leadership at some point. So there has to be some sort of head. And maybe between now and that time when it becomes official that God shows what it is He wants to do, maybe for a while, somebody would have to be in some sort of leadership level because there's decisions that have to be made. And that's why we want the brothers to get together, because this is a body.
Amen.
It's not a man.
Right.
It's a body.
Amen.
And everything has to be for the body.
Amen.
Not for the glory of one man or the glory of another man, but for the edifying of the body.
Amen.
And so we want your interaction. And as these things happen, and to help this church be set in order and correctly, so that it can be, that we can come here without shadows hanging over our head, that we can come here in confidence that there's no issues like can be, and that we can focus while we're here
And we won't be ashamed to bring people and say, come, because the Holy Spirit is here and deals with people, because all the things that we can do, we've done.
Right.
And leave the things we can't do up to God.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And so, you know, the brothers, we all get together, a lot of decisions, you know, how many services, service times, you know, as there's got to be a name, there's some financial decisions have to be made. We don't want to jump out of frying pan into the fire.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? And so, and let me again encourage you, be humble, pray, and say, God, I want you in the midst of our little group. I don't care if it is no more than what we have right here today. Or if he wants to do something else with it, don't make a difference. But one thing, like Brother Daniel said, that his presence is here because when he's near, something good always happens.
Amen.
When he's near, God will speak. You know, but it's just that when things rise up that can cause the Holy Spirit to land out there on a limb, then you have to deal with that. But you don't understand, we want this started right, because when that bullet leaves the end of the gun, the only way to correct that is to come back where it got off to begin with in the first place, and woe at all the troubles and sorrow that it can create because it was wrong to begin with.
Right.
You see what I mean? So right now is one of our most important times as a body of believers. Right now. Over the next however much time it is. And so we really need the brothers next weekend after the morning service. We'll get together. Maybe at a restaurant, or maybe come back here, whatever everybody decides and wants to do at that time. We have some decisions to make, and let me encourage you, really, be very sincere and prayerful between now and then, and that the Lord will next week give us the temporary decisions that we need to work for a while, however long it takes until more permanent things are put in place. You know, this building may be temporary. May be permanent for a while. I don't know. That's all. But let's don't put God in a box.
Yeah.
Let's don't try and come to the table and say, my way or my idea or this is what God's got to do. Let's be prayerful and let Him do what He wants to do. And I think that if we do that, we will be most blessed.
Yeah.
As we said, Sunday school will start next week. I think really that we only have one age group, right? One class group right now. And so if we have another group, ages that we need to, we'll focus upon that at some point. You know, I know we come in here and maybe expect that, you know, that everything just kicks off and everything's in place. Well, you obviously see it's not. Everything's not in place. We'll have to do that. And it'll take reciprocation on everyone's part. And so that if you feel upon your heart, God moves upon you in a certain area to minister to this body in whatever way it may be, that'll He will make that happen the way He wants. And we'll find out. We'll turn around someday and we'll look, you know, and everything is the way it needs to be. You know, if we need to record things, that'll be done. If we need extra Sunday school teachers, it'll be done. We'll find out someday, because God is a master of straightening it all out, and then we've been allowing us to see what He has straightened out. And so that's what we want to do, is just continue to let Him do that. And I think the Lord has blessed us.
Amen.
And I think that as our path should be always, stepping stones, not stumbling. God's not dead. He is alive.
Let's sing that.
You believe it? Let's all stand. God's not dead. He is alive. Amen.
God's not dead. He is alive. God's not dead.
God's not dead. He is alive. He is alive, God's found it. He is alive, I feel him in my hip. I feel him in my feet. I feel him in my heart. I feel him all over me. And God found it. He is alive, God's found it. He is alive, God's found it.
He is alive,
I feel him in my hand. I feel him in my feet. I feel him in my heart. I feel him all over me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Amen. And God bless you. You're dismissed.